Well, good morning, New Heart. I'm so glad that you're here today. I want to welcome all of you who are regulars, those of you who are guests. Thank you for joining us today. I'm glad you're here. This last week, we celebrated one of the biggest holidays on the calendar. Does anyone know what it was? You guys are like, what are you talking about? Thursday was International Left-Handed Day. Can we give a round of applause for all of our left-handed? How many southpaws do we have in the house? Yes, awesome. International Left-Handers Day. It was an awesome day. I want to thank all my lefties. It's a good thing. But in seriousness, though, we're kind of getting back into the swing of things. Fall is coming, although it doesn't feel like it. I'm told that this is normal here in Simi, that it gets as hot as the sun right before fall. But we are getting back into fall. And as we get into fall, church life kind of starts to get a little busier. A little more hectic. You're going to pace around? You're going to hang out? You're just looking at everybody, huh? Okay, check it out. Well, as fall kind of kicks off, we have a lot of stuff that's going to be going on here at New Heart, and a lot of cool things happening with, as Rebecca mentioned, kids worship team is going to be starting. It's going to be a great, fun time for kids to have their own worship experience. And they'll from time to time come in and then bring some of their fun excitement to us on a Sunday morning as well as a bunch of other stuff like mops. Okay, bud, let's go sit back down. Why don't you go sit down? There you go. There's mama. Go to mama. There's mom. He wanted to teach. But we've got a lot of fun stuff going on, so please check out what's going on. We'd love to get you connected. We're going to be doing, like I said, MOPS is going to be an awesome opportunity for us to reach out to not only moms here at New Heart, but also moms in our community. Don't you know that moms need other moms to talk to? They need a break sometimes from the 8 million questions that kids ask throughout the day. So it's a good way to do that. I want to encourage those of you who are moms, or even those of you who've got some time and want to help out, to give these moms a little break to kind of spend time getting to know God, and it's going to be an awesome opportunity for our moms. So in this season, we're really trying to prepare ourselves. That's what our work days have been about. And so we're starting to kind of clean up and change some things around here to get ready for all the people that God is going to send our way. We have a value here at New Heart that lost people matter to God and lost people matter to us. And so we want to kind of sweep the rug and kind of get things ready, kind of like when we get ready for people to come over and join us for a meal. Someone's going to come into our home. We want to get ready. So there's that little plug of art, getting ready. I'm ready for all that God has in this next season. Are you?
Yes.
Like three of you. How about, are you guys ready for all that God has for us? Okay, good. Whew. Makes me feel good. Well, let's go. I'm excited to kick off a new series this morning with you that we're calling Hope is Here. And yes, and it's an exciting time. Why don't you say that with me? Hope is here.
Hope is here.
So what is hope? Hope is a word that sometimes we throw around. What does it mean? I looked it up in the dictionary because that's what I do. I like to look at words. In fact, I looked it up in the Baker Encyclopedia, and it says this. Hope is an expectation or belief in the fulfillment of something desired. It goes on to say, present hurts and uncertainty over what the future holds create the constant need for hope. Worldwide poverty, hunger, disease, and human potential to generate terror and destruction create a longing for something better. Historically, people have looked to the future with a mixture both of longing and of fear. And hope is what sustains us in the midst of an uncertain future. Hope is what allows us to look ahead to the future with an expectancy, with an excitement about what could be. And that's what I want to talk about today. See, as a people who trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are a people of hope. We are a people that have an expectancy about what the future will hold. And we are a people that can know that hope is here. That God, the God of the universe that gives us hope beyond our temporal circumstances, is here. He's available. He's present to be with us. See, we don't have to go searching for hope. We have a hope, and his name is Jesus. Jerry Cook, who's a fantastic pastor that has gone to be with the Lord, but one time he shared a story with me that I love, and he was in Northern California at a place called the Russian River, and a beautiful river, gorgeous thing, but he was there right after a big storm. So there was all sorts of rain and torrential downpour, and And this river just swells to capacity around this time. It was the kind of raging river that maybe you've seen water like this. I love water, but raging rivers are something altogether different. You know, you can put your leg in, you can try and just go out and wade in the water. And if it's going fast, it'll just sweep you away. So it was one of those kind of situations where the water was just raging. And he was out for his morning walk, and he looked over at the river, and he couldn't quite see the water, but he could see just the heads of some guys that were over by the riverside. And they were laughing. And it looked like to him that they were actually in the river. He thought, this person is either crazy or in danger or maybe both. I don't know. So he had to go investigate. So he went and looked at this river, and he walked over the hill and saw these guys. And they had anchored a ski handle and a ski rope to the edge of the river, and they were out in the middle of this river with their surfboards, holding on to this handle, just having a good old time. They were using the raging river as something for fun. And, you know, it was a little bit crazy, but he couldn't understand it. He couldn't believe it. But they had found something that would keep them safe. See, the water by itself could be dangerous. The water by itself, if they weren't careful, could sweep them away to their doom, even to their death. Yet, with a rope anchored onto that side, outside of the raging river, they were safe. And what would have been dangerous, what would have been terrifying, was fun. And see, we too have an anchor just like that. We have what's called a steadfast anchor for our souls. An anchor that keeps us sure no matter what goes on in our lives. In fact, the Bible calls hope the anchor that sustains our soul in times like that. Here's what Hebrews 6 and 19 says. It says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Say those words with me. Anchor of the soul. A hope that it enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus is gone as a forerunner on our behalf. In other words, Jesus has secured for us an eternal future. He's kept us secure. So no matter what happens in our life, we've got, just like those boys did, an anchor that keeps us from being swept away by the things of life. We've got an anchor called hope. And it's only secure because it's something that's anchoring us outside of the river of this life that we live in. It's anchored and rooted in eternity. See, that's the hope that we have in Jesus. That's what it does for us. It anchors our soul. I don't know about you, but there's times in life when things come and they get scary and they get overwhelming and they get a little bit out of my control. Just like that river was raging. Sometimes in our lives, things rage around us. And they can make us feel completely helpless and hopeless. And that's where we need an anchor. That's where we need something to tether us to where we won't get swept away by the circumstances of life. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this good news called the gospel. And we're going to look at this anchor for our souls. An anchor that gives us confidence and security no matter what life throws at us. And we're going to talk about some of the implications. And we're going to divide our series up into three different statements. And they're this. First, we have a hope for our past. We have hope for our past. See, through faith, we have been saved from the penalty of sin because of Jesus' perfect life and death in our place. The second thing we'll look at is we have a hope for our present. This thing is driving me crazy. We have a hope for our present. That through faith, we're being saved from the power of sin at work in our lives. That God wants to set us free from the power of sin. Those things that we once were helpless to do, God sets us free from doing those things. And then thirdly, we'll look at how we have a hope for our future. That through faith, we will be saved from the presence of sin because of Jesus' return. Jesus is coming back. That's what he promised to us. And when he does, we'll be delivered once and for all from the presence of sin forever. So this morning, we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at that truth, that through faith, we have hope for our past. See, we have this scripture that's in the front of our church. It's in every Foursquare church across the world. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he gives us hope for our yesterday. That he sets us free from the penalty of our sins. That he gives us hope for today. He wants to give us power to overcome the sin that we deal with on a daily basis. And he gives us hope for our future, that one day we'll once and for all be rid of sin and the brokenness of death and sickness and all disease and war and famine and all those things that we suffer with today. So let's look at that first point. Because of what Jesus did for you and me, we are saved from the punishment that we deserved. See, because of my faith in Jesus, here's the first point if you're taking notes. Whatever you've done, you've been forgiven. By faith in Jesus Christ, when we put our faith and hope and trust in Him, we've been forgiven from those things that we've done in our past. So here's the bad news. The Bible talks about bad news and it talks about good news. Here's the bad news. Romans 3, verse 20 and verse 23. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight. What does that mean? That means we can't do enough to be justified for what we've done in our lifetime. Because why? Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, the bad news is that every single one of us have missed the mark. And that's what sin means. When we read the word sin in the Bible, it's an archery term. It means I was aiming at the bullseye and I missed the mark. Maybe I shot left. Maybe I shot to the right. Maybe I missed the target by a mile. Maybe I was shooting the wrong direction. But one way or the other, I missed the mark that I should have been aiming for. That's what it means to sin. And each one of us are susceptible to that. Each one of us are susceptible not only of missing the mark, but we have the tendency to do something even worse. And we said, well, I was aiming for that, right? I missed the mark, but I meant to do that. I was aiming for that. And we start to justify ourselves. Some of the ways we do that is we compare, right? Maybe this is just me. But we compare ourselves. We say, well, I'm no Mother Teresa, but I'm also not Hitler. I'm better than that. So we start to justify our actions. In fact, there's a story told of a man that was responsible for a ton of evil. His name is Adolf Eichmann. He was the mastermind of the Nazi final solution to exterminate millions of human beings. And he committing shocking crimes, but his captor, Peter Malkin, and the journalists who observed his trial were shocked by two things. First of all, they were shocked that he looked like a normal guy. He wasn't a monster. When you imagine the kind of person that would perpetrate the evil that was done, they were expecting a monster. So they were shocked by that. Second thing they were shocked with was the fact that he was not only looked like a normal person, but he had this capacity to just justify his behavior. In his mind, he wouldn't have rated himself any lower than, you know, anyone else on the morality scale. He began to justify the things that he had done for the murders and the things that he had done against human beings. See, Adolf Eichmann's story illustrates this important truth, this ability that each one of us have to justify ourselves. And though I might not have done what he has done, we all have a tendency to begin saying, well, I'm not as bad as that person. I'm better than that person, so I'm doing all right. See, even though we have a bad resume, right? Think of a resume. A resume tells about my past, tells about where I've been and what I've done, tells about the experiences I've got. Even though we have a bad resume, we try and make it sound better than it is. I'm sure you've never done that, right? I mean, that's what resumes are. They are us telling the best possible version of our past. You go into an interview and you say, you know, well, I just sat around the house. You wouldn't say that. Say, no, I was a domestic engineer. I made sure the couch was structurally sound. Domestic engineer, right? We do that. We have this tendency when we go on a job interview to try and tell the very best possible version of what we've done with our past. And that's what our resume is. It's simply a collection of all of our achievements and accomplishments and certifications and education and job experience. And we try and tell this great story. And when you go in for a job interview, they not only take your resume, but they also do what? If they're a good employer, they do a background check, right? They call the police and they look you up and they see, has he done time? Has he been on probation? Is there something that's in his past that needs to be there? They begin to call your references. So he said he was a good employee. Was he? They begin to call people in your back. And if all of those things check out and they look good, they might call you in for an interview. They might hire you for a job. Here's the truth. Each one of us will stand before Almighty God and give an interview. We'll have to show our resume for how we've done on this life. Now, I want you to imagine that. That's something that terrifies me in some ways, to think about that. We'll have to give an account to the Creator of all things, but we won't be able to cheat on our resume to God. He knows the resume. He knows the truth. See, the truth is that our resume is not good enough. See, the Bible says that God doesn't rate us the way that we sometimes rate us. We say, well, I want to rate my righteousness or my standing before God of how good I did based on the guy next to me. But that's not the way that God rates us. That's not the way that God judges us. He holds us to the standard of his righteousness. The Bible tells us that he will not allow sin to remain in his presence. So our resume is not good enough. Here's what religion says. Religion says, my identity is based on what I do for God. Here's what the gospel says. The gospel says my identity is based on what God has done for me in Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the key distinction between the gospel and religion. Romans 3:21 says, but now a righteousness from God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Say those words with me. For all who believe. For all who believe. See, God has given us the ability to take hold of his righteousness, of his resume, just by faith. Not by what we do, not by how good we are, how good of a show we put on for people around us, but by what Jesus has done. See, Jesus always did what was good, right, and perfect. He honored God and lived a perfect life, a life that was very different from yours and mine, a life that where he never missed the mark. He never sinned. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone like that. Do you know anyone that's like that? You know what you call a person that claims to be without sin other than Jesus? A liar. Boom, there they go. They just sinned, right? None of us would have that sort of resume that Jesus did. Oh, we could fake it. We can write it on our resume. I'm perfect. Look at how good I am. But none of us can live that way. None of us have the resume that Jesus did. See, we don't have to fake it because Jesus' perfect life gives us hope. It gives us the ability to give us hope for our past. That what we've done in our past does not define who we are in our present or in the future. It means that God has given us a new past, a new resume. See, religion says that God will love me if I change. The gospel says God will change me because he loves me. And that's a huge difference. So whatever you've done, you've been forgiven. The second thing is this, whoever you were, it doesn't define you. It doesn't matter who you were in your past. Sometimes we're worried about our stories from our past catching up to us. The person I used to be in high school or in college or even a few years ago. But that's not the way that God looks at us in Christ. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us a new past. In fact, this is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, read those words with me. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, in Christ, we are a new creation. God gives us hope for our past that what we did yesterday doesn't define who I am today. That jerk from high school is gone. Hallelujah. That guy that I was a couple of years ago, God has made me new in Jesus. That which I did in my past doesn't define me. That's not who I am anymore. I get a new beginning. See, religion says I have to pretend that I am better than I really am. I have to try and hide my faults and pretend like they're not there because every sin condemns me. But here's what the gospel says. The gospel says I'm free to be myself with all my faults and failures. I don't have to hide because all my sin is forgiven sin. See, this isn't to say that God won't work about transformation in our hearts if we press into Him. But what it means is sometimes we think we've got to fake it till we make it. I've got to pretend like I've got it all together and I can't tell anyone else that I'm struggling or I'm hurting or I'm dealing with some area of unbelief or doubt or fear or anxiety. It means that sometimes religion would tell us that I can't do that. I can't show people that because that condemns me. But in reality, all of my missing of the mark is forgiven. I've got hope for my past. See, the good news of Jesus' death, see, as perfect as Jesus was, He died on the cross. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus never sinned. So why did He die? He died to pay the penalty for our rap sheet. See, just like going for a job, they would check your background and they would look at your rap sheet. Jesus died to give us a clean rap sheet. He died to set us free from those things that defined our past. Well, that doesn't mean we won't have to suffer some consequences for things we do here on earth, but it means before the eyes of God Almighty, we've got a clean rap sheet. He doesn't look at us the way that sometimes we look at ourselves. See, it's easy for us to define ourselves by our worst mistake in our past. But God doesn't look at us that way. He defines us by what we've done with His Son, Jesus. Sorry, buddy. He defines us by that. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He said, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." I want you to imagine standing before God. Just imagine. You're standing before a holy and righteous God. And in front of you, in your hand, you've got your resume. Not the resume you wish you could type up, but the resume of all of your mistakes, of all of your life there on display. And you have to stand before God and show Him this resume of every mistake, every failing, every place you've missed the mark, and you've got to hand in this resume as you stand before Almighty God. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like fun. I don't know. How many of you guys want to do that? I don't. But here's the good news. Now imagine again an opportunity to stand before Almighty God and hand in Jesus' resume. See, He lived a perfect life. He was without sin. Imagine standing before Almighty God, and it's like getting to hand in someone else's homework. It doesn't seem fair. But that's what God's grace is all about. It's not fair, but He's given us an opportunity to hand in His resume instead of mine. He's given us hope for our past. See, the bad news is that I'm so sinful that Jesus had to die for me, but the good news is that God loved me so much that Jesus was glad to die for me and for you. Third thing, wherever you've been, it's not your destination. It's just your past. Sometimes we think we've come from a place that's way too far from God. Maybe you feel you're too far from God now. The truth is that nowhere we've been in our past can determine where we go in our present or in our future. See, it's just our past. What matters is what we do with Jesus. Will we choose to take hold of His resume, of His perfect righteousness, what theologians call the great exchange? I give Him my junk. I give Him my filthy resume that wouldn't get me the job, and He gives me His. That's a great exchange. That's a good deal, right? I'll take that deal any day. I don't know why Jesus would want to take that deal, but He did, because He loved us. See, that is the exchange. See, instead of trying to prove ourselves by what we do, our job is simply to take hold of His resume, to take hold of what Jesus Christ has done and own that and live with that. We don't have to pretend like we've got it all together, trying to prove ourselves. Some of us try and do that. We try and prove ourselves to ourselves. I can do it. I can try harder. I can get better. We try and prove ourselves to other people. We want to show them that we can do it. Sometimes that's even a family member, a father, a mother. We say, I'm going to prove that I can do this. See, but God is not a God that's waiting for us to perform for Him. He loves us. And that's why He gives us by grace His righteousness. See, religion says, I feel the need to prove myself to God and to others because my acceptance is based on my performance. In other words, I'm constantly under pressure to perform. The gospel says I don't have to prove myself to God or to others because my acceptance is based on Jesus' good performance. He did it all, so I don't have to. So the pressure, it's off. And I'll tell you, when we will take hold of the gospel and realize that we don't have to live under the pressure of performing for God, it changes something. It changes something deep within us. And God is able to work about a transformation that we could never have faked had we tried. Had we just gritted our teeth and clenched our fists and just tried harder, we never would have been able to do it. See, the hope of Jesus is available to each one of us today. And he wants to set us free from the penalty of our sins, from the penalty of our past, really the chains of our past. Some of us are enslaved to the things we did yesterday. We think that they have a hold on us. See, but Jesus wants to give you his resume. He wants you to take hold of it by faith to free you from the shame of yesterday. See, we each fall short in different ways. Maybe you'll find yourself in one of these two tendencies. Some of us have a tendency to blow it in big ways. I call these people the out of control, right? You have a tendency to just go wild. And then the other side of the equation, there's people that have a tendency to try and take control, to feel like they can take it in control. They struggle with legalism and religion. And we have a tendency to swerve one direction or the other from the gospel, from what God wants to do for us. Those who blow it in big ways, your past might be checkered with all sorts of things that you're ashamed of, things that you've done wrong, things that you wish you could take back. And for those who struggle in that way, we have to be reminded of the gospel. We have to be reminded that our past is made clean and purified by Jesus and what he did on the cross. He's given you forgiveness for your past. And then on the other hand, those who are prone towards religion and legalism, a false sense of control. See, we've got a past and present filled with achievement. Think that if I just do more for God, he'll love me more. That if I just show other people how good I am, that I'll be valuable to God. But we too must be reminded of the gospel, those that struggle in that way. We have to be reminded that Jesus died so that we don't have to perform for him, so that we don't have to turn in our resume, but Jesus' resume. Because the truth is that no matter how hard we try, we'll never have Jesus' resume. We'll never have God's perfect righteousness without Jesus Christ. So each one of us has to be reminded of the gospel. Be reminded that God wants to give us this steadfast anchor for our soul. And I pray that would be the truth, that the gospel would be an anchor that would hold you safe and secure in the midst of whatever come in life. Whether it's a raging storm, a raging river that would be dangerous and scary, no matter what comes, my prayer is that you would find the hope in the gospel, the hope in Jesus Christ that would hold you secure, no matter what throws, what comes your way. That we would live as a people who've been set free from our past, so that we can live the life that God has designed us for. See, the truth is that God wants to set you free from your past, whether that's a past filled with legalism or a past filled with crazy debauchery and crazy living, whatever that looks like, or maybe it's somewhere in between. Maybe you're not Hitler or Mother Teresa, maybe you're somewhere in between. Doesn't matter where you are, God wants each one of us to grab hold of the gospel and to be changed deeply by it. Would you bow with me as we close our time in prayer? Let me ask you this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, what was God speaking to you about? See, as we talk about hope for today, what was God reminding you of? For some of you, God was wanting to set you free from the shame of your past. You may be or were prone to being out of control. Things from your past may bring you shame. Somehow you think that if people found out about your past, they wouldn't accept you, or if God did, he wouldn't accept you. The truth is, God knows. He wants to set you free from it. He wants you to be reminded of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died to set you free from the penalty of your sins, that he lived a perfect life and died on the cross to set you free from your past. Jesus wants you to trust his work in the cross. He died in your place so that you wouldn't have to. You don't have to prove yourself anymore. If that's you right where you're at, you can pray something like this in your heart. Father, I thank you that you've set me free from the penalty of my sins. Thank you for setting me free from my past and giving me a new identity. I thank you that I'm a new creation in you. Thank you for giving me a new resume. I'm sorry for trying to earn what's already mine. I'm sorry for trying to fake it to myself or to others what I've already got from you. I trust you, Lord. I trust your power that sets me free from my past and from the penalty of my sins. For others of you, God is wanting to set you free from trying to perform for him. You may be prone to trying to make yourself look righteous. You may have trusted Jesus with your life in the past, but somewhere along the line, you started faking it. You started trying to act like you have it all together, pretending like you don't need Jesus anymore because you can just make it happen. Jesus wants to take you from faking to trusting again. If that's you, I want you to pray something like this right where you're at. Father, I thank you that I don't have to prove myself to you or to others anymore because my acceptance is based on Jesus and his good performance. I grab hold of Jesus' resume. I thank you that you've taken the pressure off, that I don't have to prove myself because you've proven everything at the cross. You showed and demonstrated your great love for me. Thank you for loving me first. In Jesus' name. Finally, with every head bowed in this place and every eye closed, I want to make an opportunity for anyone who may be here in this place and you've never received God's grace for the first time. You've never said yes to God's radical love for you. You need to accept God's love for you today. If you haven't been walking through a relationship with Jesus, you want to admit your need for your forgiveness for your past, for power for your present, and for hope for your future. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, I want to agree with you in prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come down front or do anything weird. But if that's you, with every other head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand, let our eyes meet? Say, I want to receive Jesus' free gift of grace today. Thank you. See you. Church, can we pray this prayer? Can we repeat it aloud? Repeat after me, everyone. Say, Heavenly Father, you said all I have to do is come to you with faith and you would hear me. So as best as I know how, I come to you now. I ask you to forgive my past. Help me to change my life and secure for me everlasting life. Jesus Christ, I turn my life over to you now. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate what God is doing? Can we give God a clap offering? I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, maybe God was stirring your heart about something during our message time today. We're going to conclude with a song, but we've got a prayer team available in the prayer room afterwards. If you need something, you want someone to agree with you in prayer about something, encourage you to seek prayer. Don't leave this place without resolving. Would you stand to your feet this morning? We're going to close out our time with something.